The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Jesus Christ gave his church the commission of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world. He also said it was to be published to the whole world, and he instructed that this gospel and all of his truth was to be freely given out. No price or charge was to be placed on any of his teachings. No money was to be required for any of his truth. Go get your Bible and follow along and prove it to yourself as we go through this subject of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's begin by turning to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. That's Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Here's what Jesus Christ said. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel, which is the good news of the kingdom of God, was to be preached everywhere it was possible to be preached, in all the world and in all the nations of the world, and then the end will come. This is a big assignment from Jesus Christ, the head of his church. He has commissioned that church to carry this gospel to every nook and cranny all over the face of this earth, wherever it's possible to do so. He opens the doors, and we go through those doors, and we preach his truth, and we publish his truth, and we teach his truth, and this gospel goes out week after week to more and more places. This is what he has commissioned us to do, and this is what we must do. And it's good news, and it's about the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is to be brought to this earth by the king. It's not inside you, it's not the church, and it's not the British Empire. It's the kingdom of God that the king himself will bring back to this earth when he returns. And the announcement of that kingdom being brought back to this earth and all that it will then bring about is that good news called the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ also instructed that this gospel was to be published or proclaimed throughout all nations. Let's see where he said that over here in Mark chapter 13 and verse 10. Turn with me to Mark 13 and verse 10 and notice what he said about publishing the gospel. Verse 10, Mark 13, and the gospel must first be published among all nations, proclaimed among all nations. So not only is it to be preached by whatever means he gives his church to preach it, everywhere he opens a door for it to be preached, it's also to be published. To be published and proclaimed in whatever fashion he allows and makes possible. For instance, magazines, booklets, letters, published and put in the hands of any and everybody, any and everywhere who wants it and who will study it and read it, absorb it, understand it, and put it to practice, we hope. This is a privilege to be a part of this commission. This is an honor to be given the responsibility to carry out this assignment. And no price was to be placed on the gospel or on his truth or on any of his teachings. It is to be preached and published and proclaimed and freely given to anyone who wants it. Jesus Christ himself makes this very clear right in the pages of his Bible. Let's turn right over here to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 6, he instructed his apostles in his day, and by extension, his servants in our day, to do this. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. There's not very many examples in the Bible of people being raised from the dead, but there are some examples. And Jesus Christ did it. He did it, or he did it through his powerful prophets and servants. Raise the dead, cast out demons, and look what he said about doing all of this. Did he say beg for money, plead for money, ask for money, charge money, call it the free gift, and then say, send the $50 free gift and we'll give you this free, this, that, and the other? No, this is what he says. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, then how can the church operate if we give everything out freely? Where will the funds come from? Well, Almighty God sees to that, and Jesus Christ sees to that. And so we leave that in his hands. But we freely give his truth because we have freely received it. You didn't have to pay a price in order to receive his truth. In order to receive his truth, he opens our minds, he calls us into his truth, and he gives it to us freely. He doesn't put a price on it. And he tells us, don't you put a price on it either. Now this is the same gospel that Jesus Christ preached. The same thing. We follow right in his footsteps and we preach what he preached. And we do so through the power and help that he gives us. Otherwise, we could never get it done. Let's see what the Bible says about that very point. Turn with me over here to Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Mark 1 and verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's his gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's his gospel. And he preached that gospel. He started off by preaching that gospel, and he continued to preach it. And what was it about? Was it about himself? Was it about salvation? Was it about give your heart to the Lord? Was it about you better repent now or you might go to hell tonight? No, we see what it was about right over here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 14, Mark chapter 1. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what he did. He came right along and he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And when was that? Well, it says in verse 1 of Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right from the beginning, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. He was the representative of the kingdom, and he was the personification of God's truth and God's way, and he was near at hand. So that's why he said what he said here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. And what gospel? The gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what the gospel message is. It is about the kingdom of God. Now, as we study the Bible with an open mind, objectively, we see with our own eyes that is exactly the same gospel that the apostles preached. The true apostles in the early New Testament church, personally trained by Jesus Christ, taught by him, and led by him. What did they preach regarding the gospel? Let's find out. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 28 and verse 30. Acts 28 and verse 30. And we can go to other places in the Bible where some of the other apostles came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, but let's just go to the example of one of the most powerful and well-known apostles of the early New Testament church, God's true church. And that is the Apostle Paul. What did he preach regarding the gospel? Acts chapter 28 and verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house or rented house and received all that came in unto him. So the church met in his house. It was a little flock, just like it is now. Christ said that it would be a little flock with a little strength, but power from on high to do what he commissioned it to do. And what did Paul preach? Verse 31, Acts 28, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he went on to teach the truth about the true Jesus Christ, who he was, what he did, what he's going to do in the future, and what he taught. And he did it freely. And it says, he did it with all confidence. He couldn't be stopped because God saw to it he was able to do this. It says no man forbidding him. And preaching what again? This leading apostle in God's church? Preaching the kingdom of God. The good news of the coming family, and government of God back to this earth, led by the King of Peace and the King of the Kingdom. Now, you find this in other places of the Bible as well. One of my favorite books is the book of Daniel. And one of the personalities in the Bible that I admire the most is Daniel, the beloved servant of God in his day. Let's go back over there to the book of Daniel and see what it says about the kingdom of God. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel 2 and verse 44. Look at this. And in the days of these kings, when you hear phraseology like, and in those days, or in the days of, and so on, you read it in context, you're usually going to find it's talking about the last days and the end time. And that's the time frame he's talking about right here in this verse. Daniel 2 and verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. All the kingdoms of this world now are left to other people. It's man's rule trying to have man's way and solve problems according to his opinions. That's going to be replaced by the kingdom of God that will be led by Jesus Christ, and the problems will be solved his way, which means there will be a perfect outcome and a perfect solution for every single problem we see around us today that just gets bigger and bigger and is never solved. That's what he means when he says here, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume or put an end to all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's talking about the kingdom of God. And it will be set up on this earth, and it will crush and replace all other governments and kingdoms of this world, and it will be established permanently. It will stand forever, as Daniel says right here in chapter 2 and verse 44. Now, the reason it will stand forever is because Jesus Christ will be the king. He will be in charge permanently. Let's read about that over here in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. You know, one of the things that we are missing anywhere on earth today that you want to look is outstanding leadership. There is a huge vacuum of leadership in every nation, everywhere on earth. Where have all the leaders gone? We're talking about leaders that lead with love and firmness and principle. They stand for what is right, and they put it all on the line, and they can't be bought off and corrupted, and they can't be influenced to compromise on doing what needs to be done. Where are you going to find powerful, bold, zealous, courageous, and consistent leaders today? Where is the leadership that is needed to stabilize countries and to lead them on the right path to success and prosperity? Well, I think you're going to be hard put to find those kind of leaders anywhere today. But that kind of leader is coming. He's coming to this earth. And he's going to be the greatest leader that has ever existed. And he's going to be the greatest king that has ever assumed a throne. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is coming back to this earth, and he will be in charge, and he will lead with love and power and justice and integrity. He'll have all of those and every other quality needed in order to be the king of this earth. Now, the Bible says that right here in Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 9. What's the time frame of this? Well, verse 4 says, the time frame is his second coming, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's not talking about his first coming, even though he did stand on the Mount of Olives when he was here the first time. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives when he comes again, and the second time, here's what's going to happen. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. That's never happened before, but it's going to happen in the not-too-distant future when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, not as the Savior of mankind this time, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as the warrior that will put down all war and consume all nations that are committed to war and replace those governments with his kingdom, and replace those leaders with his leadership. That's what it says here in verse 9 of Zechariah 14. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's never happened before, but it's going to happen. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And that's talking about Jesus Christ coming back to this earth to establish his kingdom on this earth, and then to rule the world through his government, which will be a government of peace, a government of love, and a government of power. And that's going to happen. It can't be stopped. Nobody can prevent it from taking place. Now, I would like to quickly turn over here to the book of Isaiah and just read some of the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go there. Isaiah chapter 9 and begin reading in verse 6. It says in verse 6 of Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." It's not going to be based on a body of elected representatives, all of which want to do things his own way. It's not going to be a dictatorship. It isn't going to be brought about by a coup. This is going to be a government that is completely different to any government the world has ever seen through 6,000 years of history. This is going to be the government of God, led by the Son of God and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." Notice this now, "the Prince of Peace." You know, if Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he is, there's going to be peace when he takes charge. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." It's going to be his kingdom. He's going to be the king. And since he's the King of Peace, there will be peace. There will be prosperity. There will be happiness and joy and health and abundance. Nations will get along with other nations. There will be no racial tension or injustice. All races will get along with one another. People from all walks of life, all cultures, and all kinds of traditions and backgrounds will lay their prejudices and their hatreds and their attitude of getting even and vengeance and revenge aside. And that will all be replaced with love, cooperation and harmony and unity, productivity and sharing and giving and serving, and all led by Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, and all enforced and required by the government of God, implemented and put in force by Jesus Christ. And it will all be based on complete fairness and total justice. That time is coming. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is the truth about Jesus Christ, the King, coming back to this earth. And when he comes back, everything will be set in order. And in a practical way, this is not pie in the sky, fluffy kind of Disneyland, Mother Goose rhymes and fantasy. This is the true gospel, talking about a very practical way of life and way of governing and way of leading that gets practical results that really work. Not just in word, but in deed as well. Now I want to turn very quickly to just one example of the practicality that will start to take place when the kingdom of God is established on this earth. Let's turn over here to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3. It's right before Haggai and Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. Notice what it says and think about what this will mean. Verse 9, Zephaniah 3, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent or one accord." It says here he's going to restore one language, and it's going to be a pure language. And that then will mean everybody can call upon him with one accord. In other words, everybody everywhere will speak the same language. Think about the changes that that's going to bring about. Now, if you study the history of mankind, you know that this was the case at one time, but that led to the Tower of Babel, when they were going to take matters in their own hands and do whatever they wanted to do, leaving God totally out of the picture. And because there was such clear communication taking place and so much talent and ability, they would have developed inventions and systems and weapons that would have ended up destroying mankind thousands of years ago around the Tower of Babel. And God knew that this was going to happen, and so He confused their communication. He confused their languages, and He instituted all kinds of different languages and dialects and ways of communication, and then He scattered the races all over the face of the earth. You can read about that back in Genesis, where He did that. Well, this time it's going to be different, because this time, when everybody can communicate clearly one to another in speaking and in writing, and there's no misunderstanding of what you mean by what you say, and everybody understands one another in terms of their language, this time it won't lead to chaos, confusion, and ultimately destruction, because the King will be here, and He will be overseeing everything. And therefore, this one pure language will help to bring about peace and unity instead of war and strife. And Jesus Christ, the King, will oversee the whole process and make sure communications are put to the right use instead of the wrong use. And think of what that's going to open up. So many bad things happen today because of misunderstanding brought about by unclear communications. And a certain word or phrase or letter or paragraph in one country can mean something totally different in another country. And even though there could be interpreters, there's still quite often misunderstandings, and things are taken the wrong way, and then trouble occurs. Trouble ensues. Trouble follows. Well, in the kingdom of God, when Jesus Christ is the King and there's just one pure language for everybody, that isn't going to happen. Instead, there will be unity. There will be peace and goodwill and cooperation and clear understanding of what we mean and of what we intend when we speak one to the other. And this will lead to one-mindedness, unity among nations and peoples. And therefore, the talent, the ability, the capability of human beings will be put to the right use. And what an incredible sight that will be. The full potential of human beings given vent so that whatever they want to do, they can do if it's according to God's word. And whatever they want to build, they can build if it's according to God's plan. And they'll be able to communicate clearly one to the other through one language, both in writing and in speaking. The kingdom of God, or the family of God, will then spread the right government all over the face of the earth. Christ explained this by speaking in a very interesting parable. Let's turn and read about that over in Luke 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 20. He says in Luke 13 and verse 20, "And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" Still talking about the kingdom of God. Still talking about the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 21, "It is like leavening, or like leaven, or yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." You know how you can take bread, though, and you can insert just a little bit of yeast or leavening agent in it, and you leave it alone, before you know it, it has infiltrated the entire batch of dough and puffed it up. Now, in some places in the Bible, leavening is used as an example of sin, the way it puffs up and spreads everywhere. That's what sin does. But in this example, leavening is used to illustrate how the kingdom of God is going to start out in Jerusalem, with Jesus Christ the King leading it, and the government of God is going to spread throughout the whole earth until everybody everywhere is going to know about Jesus Christ, His way of life, His law, His truth, and follow it and really find out what true happiness is all about. It'll spread everywhere just like leavening spreads through bread dough when someone is going to bake bread. It says, "Till the whole world was leavened," in verse 21. There'll be no spot on earth that doesn't know about the truth of God and that is not under the government of God. So the gospel of the kingdom of God is the good news about Jesus Christ bringing his kingdom to this earth and establishing his loving and powerful government throughout the whole world. He will be the king, and therefore there will be peace and prosperity for everyone everywhere because he is the King of Peace. Nothing can stop the kingdom of God being brought to this earth by Jesus Christ the King. No one can prevent it from taking place. It's going to happen. We can look forward to it. We can be assured of it. And we can take hope in knowing that fact. And that is good news. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's look at one final verse over here just to absolutely sum up this whole subject and make it as clear as it can be about the fact that it's going to take place. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Notice what it says here in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Now, these are the inspired words of God, which we are reading right out of his inspired book. This is the truth. This is going to take place. No matter what you've heard, what you've thought, what you've been taught, what you've assumed and concluded before, maybe you ought to lay all that aside and just look at this verse and understand and believe it, because it's true and it's going to happen. It says here in Revelation 11 and verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That is good news. That is actually the true and real gospel of the kingdom of God. And he shall reign forever and ever. We have material on this crucial subject of the kingdom of God that is free for the asking. Request our CD on Peace at Last and God's Kingdom Changes Everything. All you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. We'll send you this material free of charge. We'll also send you our free magazine entitled Straightforward. Don't miss out on receiving this magazine. It's going to be covering many very important and interesting topics about Christian living, family, world news, prophecy, doctrine, all the subjects tied in with God, his word, and his way of life. So ask for Straightforward Magazine and we'll send it to you free of charge. That number again is 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.